Harihi Om. Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 10, verse 210, 56-62, page 10. Bhavananda Rai continued.
Mentioning Bhaktira Samrita, she wears the saffron yellow sari.
Saffron yellow?
Sari.
Saffron yellow sari. In where? In?
Bhakti
Rasamrita Sindhu. Yeah,
three,
that's right.
8, 4, 12.
Huh?
3, 4, 12.
Saffron yellow. So a little tinge of red. Okay, cool. This sun, Vaninatha, will remain at your lotus feet to always immediately attend to your orders and serve you. My dear Lord, please consider me your relative. Do not hesitate to order whatever you desire at any time you desire it. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted Bhavananda Rai's offering, saying, I will accept without hesitation because you are not an outsider. Birth after birth, you have been my servant, along with your family members. Sri Ramananda Rai is coming within 5 to 7 days. As soon as he arrives, my desires will be fulfilled. I take great pleasure in his company. Saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Bhavananda Rai. The Lord then touched the heads of his sons with his lotus feet. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then sent Bhavananda Rai back to his home, and he kept only Vaninatha Patanayaka in his personal service. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya then asked all the people to leave. Afterwards, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called for Kala Krishna Das, who had accompanied the Lord during his South Indian tour. So Vaninath is the oldest or youngest?
I think Ramananda Rai is the oldest.
Oh, he's the oldest. Yes, that's right. Is it mentioned he had, where is it mentioned he had his kids, his sons? Yeah, it's one of those, when you're looking for it, you can't find it. Right? So. Oh, well. I found the Hunas, Kiratas, and all that one. That one I found. Spiritual stuff? No. That, yes. Okay. Verses 63 to 94. Kala Krishna Das is sent to Bengal. 210-63-65. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, My dear Bhattacharya, just consider the character of this man who went with me to South India. He left my company to associate with the Bhattataris, but I rescued him from their company and brought him here. Now that I brought him here, I am asking him to leave. Now he can go wherever he likes, for I am no longer responsible for him. Srila Prabhupada. Kala Krishna Das was influenced and allured by nomads or gypsies who enticed him with women. Maya, okay, so they're gypsies. Huh?
Page 9.
Okay. Vaninath, okay, Vaninath, Gopinath, Kalanidhi, and Shudhanidhi.
Vaninath is second.
Okay, he's second. Okay.
Even now they are called Malars.
Malar, which means?
That place is still named as Malar. Here it's given like Malar Desh. The Batahat, where the Batahat is.
Oh, where the Batahat is. Oh, Malar. Okay. Yeah, because there's gypsies that, there's the gypsies like in Bihar, there's the gypsies over around Rajasthan and that side, and then there's a group of like Andhra, and yeah. I guess they go down to there. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think all of them went, because you still find them here. I don't know about Bihar and South, but you still see them in Rajasthan.
Yeah. They're down here also, man.
Yeah, yeah.
On the side of the road.
Yeah, I think they show up for festivals because they sell stuff and that. And then I think they just, because they're nomads, they just move probably from big festival to big festival. And, yeah.
The Andhra and the Maharashtra, that gypsies are still famous.
They're
just
still
like
there.
The Rajasthan.
They're still there. Okay, and Bihar, I'm not sure, but the ones that we saw in the East Bloc,
yeah.
You know, that Bulgaria, Romania, like that, even up farther, you know, then. I forget one devotee was saying he could speak Bhojpuri and they'd understand him. Yeah. So they still speak the same language that they spoke before. Yeah. Because Bhojpuri is the Bihar language. Yeah, because they kind of relate when they see us, then they come over and want to talk, what are you guys? Because kind of the Indian kind of thing is they still kind of relate to it. But I think now they're all Christians and everything like that, so they don't have quite the same, but still, heritage-wise, I think.
But even the South ones, still now they sell the bangles.
Sell bangles.
Okay. They are the ones who have all those glass bangles, as soon as you drop
they
break.
Yeah. You just look at them, they break. Don't look too hard. Put your hand. Which one do you want? Kala Krishnadas was influenced, Srila Prabhupada, by nomads or gypsies who enticed him with women. Maya is so strong that Kala Krishnadas left Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's company to join gypsy women. Even though a person may associate with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he may be allured by Maya and leave the Lord's company due to his slight independence. Only one who is overwhelmed by Maya can be so unfortunate as to leave Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's company. Yet, unless one is very conscientious, the influence of Maya can drag one away, even though he be the personal assistant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what to speak of others? The Bhattataris used to increase their members by using women to allure outsiders. This is factual evidence showing that it is possible at any time to fall down from the Lord's association. One need only misuse his little independence. Once fallen and separated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead's association, one becomes a candidate for suffering in the material world. Although rejected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kala Krishnadas was given another chance, as the following verses relate. Right, so he couldn't be his personal associate, because he's not taking advantage of that. But it doesn't mean he can't do some service. Hearing the Lord reject him, Kala Krishnadas began to cry. However, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not caring for him, immediately left to take his noon lunch. After this, the other devotees, headed by Nityananda Prabhu, Jagadananda, Mukunda, and Damodar, began to consider a certain plan. Srila Prabhupada, even though a person is rejected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the devotees of the Lord do not reject him. Therefore, the Lord's devotees are more merciful than the Lord himself. Srila Narottam Das Thakur thus sings, Chariya Vaishnava Seva Nishtar Payechi Keva. One cannot be relieved from the material clutches without engaging in the service of pure devotees. The Lord himself may sometimes be very hard, but the devotees are always kind. Thus, Kala Krishnadas received the mercy of the four devotees mentioned above. The Lord's four devotees considered, We want a person to go to Bengal just to inform Sachimata about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arrival at Jagannath Puri. After hearing news of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arrivals, devotees like Advaita and Shivas will certainly come to see him. Let us therefore send Krishnadas to Bengal. Saying this, they kept Krishnadas engaged in the service of the Lord and gave him assurance. Srila Prabhupada. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected him, Kala Krishnadas became very, very sorry and began to cry. Therefore, the Lord's devotees took compassion upon him, gave him assurance, and encouraged him to continue to engage in the Lord's service. 210.71-94. The next day, all the devotees asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please give permission for a person to go to Bengal. Mother Sachi and all the devotees headed by Advaita Prabhu are all very unhappy due to not receiving news about your return from your South India tour. One person should go to Bengal and inform them about the auspicious news of your return to Jagannath Puri. Upon hearing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, do whatever you decide. In this way, Kala Krishnadas was sent to Bengal, and he was given sufficient quantities of Lord Jagannath's food remnants to distribute there. Thus, Kala Krishnadas went to Bengal, and he first went to Navadvip to see Mother Sachi. Upon reaching Mother Sachi, Kala Krishnadas first offered his obeisances and delivered the food remnants, Mahaprasadam. He then informed her of the good news that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had returned from his South Indian tour. This good news gave much pleasure to Mother Sachi, as well as to all the devotees of Navadvip, headed by Srivas Thakur. Hearing of Lord Chaitanya's return to Puri, everyone became very glad. Krishnadas next went to the house of Advaita Acharya. After paying him respectful obeisances, Krishnadas offered Mahaprasadam to Advaita Acharya. He then informed him of the news of Lord Chaitanya in complete detail. When Advaita Acharya Goswami heard of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's return, he became very pleased. In his great ecstasy of love, he made a rumbling sound and danced and chanted for a very long time. Also, hearing this auspicious news, Haridas Thakur became very pleased. So did Vasudeva Dutta, Murari Gupta, and Shivananda Sen. Acharya Ratna, Vakreshwara Pandit, Acharya Nidhi, and Garadhar Pandit were all very pleased to hear this news. Sriram Pandit, Damodar Pandit, Sriman Pandit, Vijaya, and Sridhar were also very pleased to hear it. Raghava Pandit, Nandan Acharya, and all the devotees became very satisfied. How can I describe? Everyone was very pleased, and they all gathered together at the house of Advaita Acharya. All the devotees offered respectful obeisances at the lotus feet of Advaita Acharya, and in return, Advaita Acharya embraced them all. Advaita Acharya then held a festival that lasted 2 or 3 days. Thereafter, they all made... then they have the festival. Hear the news?
Lord Chaitanya is very magnanimous, very merciful, full of compassion. There are a few instances where he actually rejects the divinity.
Yes.
One was Mukunda when he was hearing from unreliable sources reciting the Bhagavatam.
Yes.
Second time was Krishnadas, third time was Chaitaridas.
Yes.
I'm wondering which part of Lord Chaitanya is doing this, because it seems in each case it's not Lord Chaitanya the compassionate Lord, but it's someone who is protecting the Chaitaridas and is protecting the Sannyasi. So with Krishnadas, how was it protecting and rejecting?
Just people are aware that even if you're in the association of the Lord, then you have to be careful. It's not just automatic. You always have to be, because you see is that the things like renunciation, knowledge, these things, they're helpful in that they create a very proper situation. But it's actually that commitment and surrender to the Lord, that dedication of the Lord, that mood of service to the Lord, that moves you forward to prema. Renunciation will never get you there, but renunciation will situate you so that you're not involved in the material, so that you can be more involved in the direct activities. So one has to be aware of these things, because otherwise then, you can't hear from... Because otherwise, it's like this. let's say, somebody, have you ever heard of situations where somebody comes around or something like that, or they meet somebody, you know, quite, you know, good position or this or that, he's a little bit favorable to ISKCON or does something, he knows a little bit of something, and then they tend to ask him about anything and everything when he only knows a particular area, right? And then they can get distracted, get deviated, like someone likes and wants to learn, or they want to learn about, you know, Ayurveda or astrology, and then you never hear of them again. You know, like this. So that's the thing, is that one has to be careful who you hear from, what you hear. It's not just enough that, oh, I'll use it in the Krishna service, because until you do, mundane knowledge is always mundane. Right? It has to have that point where it switches, where it's actually connected, and that's when you practically use it. You know, so you have to be very, very careful. So the point is that the example has to be set in that, because he has the rose and thunderbolt, because, you know, they're soft as a rose, hard as the thunderbolt. So the two go together, they're a balance. And so because of that, then everything goes very, very nicely. And it's always there, is that how do you know the Lord? How do you come to the Lord? How are you engaged in the service of the Lord? Is it direct, or it's through the devotees? Yes, so that the devotees are more merciful, then that's also pleasing to the Lord, because their mercy means bringing them to the Lord, because that's how people are supposed to come. But they themselves aren't necessarily directly doing so well, so by the grace of the devotees, then they do better and they come. So therefore, you see, Lord Chaitanya, do as you please. You know, he'll know what's going on. But it's you know, he still has to hold his position. Otherwise, the lesson won't be learned. You know? Yes?
Also, in case of Krishna, Kalkrishna, the other point is brought out. He was appointed by these devotees. He is not directly like an associate of the Lord.
Oh, okay.
That's why Lord Chaitanya could not even take a strong stand on him. Just left him.
Left him, okay. You hear that?
Yeah, I heard. He was under them. They recommended, so they kept responsibility.
Yes. And so then they give him the mercy and give him some other service.
I don't think he'll go back to prayer. I think he'll stay married.
We shall see. Stay tuned.
He takes care of mother.
He takes care of
Sachimata.
Okay. Yeah, so then you don't get much better than that.
All the devotees will hear from him what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did in South India. But he's the only person who knows him.
Oh, okay. Okay. So he'll stay there and then tell them what happens. And then they'll go to Puri and tell them.
Yes.
Okay. Raghava Pandit, Nandan Acharya, and all the devotees became very satisfied. How can I describe? Everyone was very pleased, and they all gathered together at the house of Advaitacharya. All the devotees offered respectful obeisances at the lotus feet of Advaitacharya, and in return, Advaitacharya embraced them all. Advaitacharya then held a festival that lasted 2 or 3 days. Thereafter, they all made a firm decision to go to Jagannath Puri. All the devotees met together at Navadvip, and with Mother Sachi's permission, departed for Niladri, Jagannath Puri. The inhabitants of Kulinagram, Satyaraj, Ramananda, and the other devotees there came and joined Advaitacharya. Mukunda, Narahari, Raghunandan, and all the others came from Kanda and to Advaitacharya's home to accompany him to Jagannath Puri. At that time, Paramananda Puri came from South India. Traveling along the banks of the Ganges, he ultimately reached the town of Nadia. At Navadvip, Paramananda Puri took his board and lodging at the house of Sachimata. She provided him with everything very respectfully, because he stayed there before, right? That was and saw the older brother. Right? While residing at the house of Sachimata, Paramananda Puri heard the news of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's return to Jagannath Puri. He therefore decided to go there as soon as possible. There was a devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's named Dwija Kamalakanta, whom Paramananda Puri took with him to Jagannath Puri. verses 95 to 101. Paramananda Puri arrives in Jagannath Puri. So it doesn't mention here. So where is it mentioned about he stayed? It comes up at some other point in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Okay. 210, 95 to 101. Paramananda Puri very soon arrived at Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's place. The Lord was very happy to see him. In the great ecstasy of love, the Lord worshipped the lotus feet of Paramananda Puri. And in return, Paramananda Puri embraced the Lord in great ecstasy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Please stay with me and thus show me favor, accepting the shelter of Jagannath Puri." Paramananda Puri replied, "I also wish to stay with you. Therefore, I have come from Bengal, Goda, to Jagannath Puri." At Navadvip, Mother Sachi and all the devotees were very glad to hear about your return from South India. They are all coming here to see you. But seeing that they were delayed, I came alone very quickly, because he can come very quickly. While the group will have to, you know, move more slowly, stop, arrange places for staying, like that. You know, they'll move at a decent speed, but not as quickly as he can just on his own.
They'll walk, right?
Yes, they'll all walk. They'll all walk. Okay. You know, so it won't be so long, because I've heard from here to Vrindavan is about 3 weeks.
Walking?
Yeah.
Wow, it's better than fast.
It's 1,500 k's.
59 a day.
1,500 kilometers.
But if you go through the forest, it will be...
I think at certain points you turn and go down. So instead of going up to Delhi, you get up to some point and go down.
Go through the forest from Bihar to UP. Quicker.
Yeah. Because you don't have to go to Calcutta either. You're not going to Calcutta coming back. You just go straight across. Yeah.
So how long did it take from Navadvip to Puri?
I'm not sure.
I think it was mentioned around 10 days.
10 days.
Like between 40, 50 kilometers. Mm-hmm.
Said 40, 50.
For a day?
Yeah, but if it's a bigger group, they probably would move slower.
It's a big white fit.
Fit. Yes, very fit.
I don't know, boys, I remember when. It took them more than 2 weeks. But they stopped it.
Yeah, they'll stop and this. And there's so many...
Boys, they move fast.
Yeah, but I'm saying there's particular holy places of pilgrimage that you need to stop at. Okay. You know, because see, when they'll go, is they're going to stop at Tirchur Gopinath.
Yeah.
That's a very major holy place for the boys. And they won't just drop in, take darshan, and go. So they're going to be there, get the kheer, eat in the morning, eat a whole bunch, and then they're going to leave. So. Okay, so. There was a solitary room at Kashi Mishra's house, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave it to Paramananda Puri. He also gave him a servant. So that devotee who came with him, he just came along with him, but he wasn't his servant. Verses 102 to 129. The story of Sri Swarup Damodar. Swarup Damodar also arrived the next day. He was a very intimate friend of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, and he was an ocean of transcendental mellows. Srila Prabhupada. Sarupa is one of the names of a brahmachari in Shankaracharya's disciplic succession. In the Vedic discipline, there are 10 names for sannyasis, and it is customary for a brahmachari assisting a sannyasi of the designation Tirtha or Ashram to receive the title Sarup. Damodar Sarup was formerly a resident of Navadvip, and his name was Purushottam Acharya. When he went to Varanasi, he took sannyas from a sannyasi designated Tirtha. Although he received the title Sarup in his brahmachari stage, he did not change his name when he took sannyas. Actually, as a sannyasi, he should have been called Tirtha. But he chose to retain his original title of Sarup. Udriti. Srila Damodar could understand the secret mission of Lord Chaitanya. And it was by his grace only that all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya could know the real purpose of the Lord. Shri Dharmadhara had been identified as Lalita Devi, the second expansion of Radharani. However, text 160 of Kavi Karnapur's authoritative Gorganodesh Deepika describes Shri Dharmadhara as the same Vishakha Devi who serves the Lord in Goloka Vrindavan. Therefore, it is to be understood that Shri Dharmadhara is a direct expansion of Radharani, who helps the Lord experience the attitude of Radharani. Arilila 4.105 purport. Right, that's the main thing to catch. It means you're going to have this, and now what's going to happen? For the next, you know, million years, Lalita, no, Vishakha, Lalita. But Prabhupada points out, therefore, it is to be understood, Sri Dharmasthana is a direct expansion of Sri Radharani, who helps the Lord experience the attitude of Radharani. That's the whole point. Because also you see in Gaurlila, many times there's all these various mixes of devotees and like that. And so that's why then it's like Radha Krishna Ganodesh Deepika, you hear who everybody is. And that, and it's not a problem. But in Radha Krishna, I mean in Gaur Ganodesh Deepika, then the author says at the beginning, if you can't handle that what I say is the way it is, don't read the book. That's his point. He says, you know, it's not a matter of logic. Because different pastimes of the Lord, then these different aspects are put together. So,
because one in the Lord is said to be the
Shri. Yeah, and some say it's the other way around. Yeah, so yeah. That's the thing.
And partially Arjuna.
Yeah, but then Arjuna has the aspect of the Nila, because he marries Subhadra, who's Yogamaya. So that brings out the Vishakha side. You know, so that's the thing, is that how they... Because the point is they may be, but what services they're performing, then they may be those aspects. The point is they're the direct expansions of Radharani, and so therefore they assist in Lord Chaitanya experiencing that attitude. Because the two of them are always there, so who's who doesn't really matter. Shri Damodar's diary provides the details for the Madhya and Antya Leelas forward. Because then from Chaitanya Mangal, then you'll get the Adi Leela. So Chaitanya has accepted the role of Radharani, and we should support that position, as Shri Damodar did in the Gambhira, the room where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in Puri. He always reminded Lord Chaitanya of Radha's feelings of separation, as they are described in Srimad Bhagavatam, and Lord Chaitanya appreciated his assistance. Arilila 4.41 purport. 210, 103, 108. When Srirup Damodar was residing at Navadvip, under the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his name was Purushottama Acharya. After seeing that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the renounced order, Purushottama Acharya became like a madman and immediately went to Varanasi to take sannyas. At the conclusion of his sannyas, his spiritual master, Chaitanyananda Bharati, ordered him, read the Vedanta Sutra and teach it to all others. Sri Damodar was a great renunciate as well as a great learned scholar. With heart and soul, he took shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. He was very enthusiastic to worship Sri Krishna without disturbance, and therefore, almost in madness, he accepted the sannyas order. Upon accepting sannyas, Purushottama Acharya followed the regulative principles of giving up his tufted hair and sacred thread, but he did not accept the saffron-colored dress. Also, he did not accept the sannyas title, but remained as a Naisthika Brahmacharya. Srila Prabhupada. There are regulative principles governing the renounced order. One has to perform 8 kinds of shraddha. One must offer oblations to one's forefathers and perform the sacrifice of Virajah Homa. Then one must cut off the tuft of hair called the shika and also give up the sacred thread. These are preliminary processes in the acceptance of sannyas. And Shri Damodar accepted all these. However, Purushottama Acharya did not accept the saffron color, a sannyasi name, or a danda, and for this reason he retained his brahmachari name. Actually, Purushottam Acharya did not accept the sannyas order formally, but he renounced worldly life. He did not want to be disturbed by the formality of the sannyas order. He simply wanted to worship Lord Sri Krishna without disturbance. Therefore, with heart and soul, he took up the renounced order, but not the formalities accompanying it. Right? So, because with us, for the aspect of sannyas, then it's not so much that the formality is not the prominent aspect, like you see with the six Goswamis and others. Then it's all sannyas, but that formality is not the prominent aspect. It's just the service. But we see with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura, then he established the formality, because otherwise then people don't take them seriously. Because all these so-called sannyasis, then the Babaji's and this and that, they're all up to, you know, they aren't following things properly. So it gives everything a bad name. So then he had everybody, except from the Prevajakacharya aspect. So that's the saffron cloth and all this. So that's the aspect that was there. Because otherwise, then they just went straight to Paramahamsa Sannyasa. So you can be in any situation and be that. Like that. I mean, not grihastha, but I'm saying you could be a brahmachari or a sannyasi. It doesn't matter what your position. Because he's not a brahmachari because he's not serving under somebody, another sannyasi. So he just wanted that freedom to be absorbed in serving the Lord. Renunciation means not doing anything but serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. When one acts on this platform trying to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is both a sannyasi and a yogi, right? Because he's given up the material world, and yogi, he's connected with Krishna. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 6.1. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Anashrita Karma Phalam Karyam Karma Karotiya Sasanyasi Cha Yogi Cha Na Niragnir Na Chakriya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, one who is unattached to the fruits of his work, and who works as he is obliged in the renounced order of life, and he is the true. And he is the true mystic. I think there's no and. He is the true mystic, not he who lights no fire and performs no work. Right? So the one who gives up the material world and then that's all they do, that's not the real, renounced position. That's giving up the material world and then being engaged in the Lord's service. That's the real position of sannyas. Because otherwise, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is pointing out that anything up to liberation where it's not in relationship to serving the Lord in a personal relationship, then is actually within the circle of material knowledge. It's still happening within the Avidya Shakti. Because you don't know your relationship with the Lord. Every living entity has a relationship with the Lord. There's no living entity that being merged in Brahman is their service. They all have an original relationship. So to not understand that, not function in that, you're still moving in the material circle. Though that aspect of that renunciator, the jnani, he's the closest to the spiritual. But he's still moving in that circle because they come back. So, but if you take up devotional service, then you automatically have that renounced. You're automatically liberated. So taking up devotional service, that's actual liberation. (110, 109, 113) After taking permission from a sannyas guru, Sukh Damodar went to Nilachal and accepted the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then, all day and night, in ecstatic love of Krishna, he enjoyed transcendental mellows in the loving service of the Lord. Srib Damodar was the limit of all learned scholarship, but he did not exchange words with anyone. He simply remained in a solitary place, and no one can understand where he was. Sri Srib Damodar was the personification of ecstatic love. fully cognizant of the transcendental mellows in relation with Krishna, he directly represented Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as his second expansion. If someone wrote a book or composed verses and songs and wanted to recite them before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Swarup Damodar would first examine them and then correctly present them. Only then would Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu agree to listen. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was never pleased to hear books or verses opposed to the conclusive statements of devotional service. The Lord did not like hearing rasa bas, the overlapping of transcendental mellows. Srila Prabhupada. Bhakti Siddhanta Virudha refers to that which is against the principles of unity and diversity. Philosophically known as achintya bheda bheda, simultaneous oneness and difference, whereas rasa bas is something that may appear to be a transcendental mellow but actually is not. Those who are pure Vaishnavas should avoid both these things opposed to devotional service. These misconceptions practically parallel the Mayavad philosophy. One indulges in Mayavad philosophy, gradually falls down from the platform of devotional service. By overlapping mellows, rasa bhasa, one eventually becomes a prakriti sahajya and takes everything to be very easy. One may also become a member of the bowel community and gradually become attached to material activities. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore advised us to avoid Bhakti Siddhanta Virudha and Rasa Bhasa. In this way, the devotee can remain pure and free from fall downs. Everyone should try to remain aloof from Bhakti Siddhanta Virudha and Rasa Bhasa. It was the practice of Swarup Damodar Goswami to examine all literatures to find out whether their conclusions were correct. Only then would he allow them to be heard by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that if something impedes the execution of devotional service, it should be understood to be impure. Pure devotees of the Lord do not accept impure principles. Impure devotees accept rasa bas, or overlapping, contradictory mellows, and other principles opposed to the bhakti path. The followers of such impure principles are never accepted as pure devotees. There are many parties following the path of rasa bhasa, and the followers are sometimes adored by ordinary men. Those who adopt the conclusions of rasa bhasa and bhakti siddhanta virudha are never accepted as devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Swarup Damodar Goswami never approved such followers as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, nor did he allow them even to meet the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 2:10, 1:15-1:16. Sri Swarup Damodar used to read the poems of Vidyapati and Chandidas and Jayadev Goswami Sri Gita Govinda. He used to make Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very happy by singing these songs. Swarup Damodar was as expert a musician as the Gandharvas, and in scriptural discussion he was just like Brihaspati, the priest of the heavenly gods. Therefore, it is to be concluded that there was no great personality quite like Swarup Damodar. Srila Prabhupada. Swarup Damodar Goswami was very expert in music as well as the Vedic literature. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to call him Damodar because of his expert singing and musical skills. The name Damodar was given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And added to the name given by his sannyas guru. He was therefore known as Swarup Damodar, or Damodar Swarup. He compiled a book of music named Sangita Damodar. We should look for that one. And you get these funny little hairs and you can't find them. So that means before, when he was in Navadvipa, so when it mentioned about Purushottama, That meant him. Yeah. Because at that point in the past, it doesn't say that that's who he becomes. So I never connected. Okay. Shri Sutta. Okay, now we're this on. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, when here it says Prabhupada, it's the purport on the Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Yes.
Only if it says it's from somewhere else, like there's a Bhagavatam verse, and it may be a purport in the Bhagavatam of Prabhupada. Or in Ramananda Rai's discussion, then there was a book on that. And so then that was being discussed from there. You know, like Prabhupada wrote small books on chapters of Gita.
Yeah.
So then this was written on Sri Sri, I forgot to say the number. Okay, 210, 170 to 119. Sri Sri Damodar was very dear to Advaitacharya and Nityananda Prabhu. And he was the life and soul of all the devotees headed by Sri Vas Thakur. When Sri Damodar came to Jagannath Puri, he fell flat before the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, offering him obeisances and reciting a verse. O ocean of mercy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, let there be an awakening of your auspicious mercy, which easily drives away all kinds of material lamentation by making everything pure and blissful. Indeed, your mercy awakens transcendental bliss and covers all material pleasures. By your auspicious mercy, quarrels and disagreements arising among different scriptures are vanquished. Your auspicious mercy pours forth transcendental mellows and thus causes the heart to jubilate. Your mercy, which is full of joy, always stimulates devotional service and glorifies conjugal love of God. May transcendental bliss be awakened within my heart by your causeless mercy. Srila Prabhupada. This important verse, Sri Chaitanya Chandradaya Nataka 8:10, specifically describes the Lord's causeless mercy. So it's interesting is that the different acharyas, that the verses said by other acharyas, they use them in their works. Like that. You know, they're so significant that they... So this verse specifically describes the Lord's causeless mercy. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the most magnanimous personality of Godhead, distributes his causeless mercy in three ways to the conditioned soul. Every living entity is morose in the material world because he is in want. He undergoes a great struggle for existence and tries to minimize his miserable condition by squeezing the utmost pleasure out of the material world. But the living entity is never successful in this endeavor. While in a miserable condition, a person sometimes seeks the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But this is very difficult for materialistic people to obtain. However, when one becomes Krishna conscious by the grace of the Lord, the fragrance of lotus feet of the Lord expands. And in this way, a materialist may gain freedom from his miseries. Actually, his mind is cleansed by the transcendental connection with the lotus feet of the Lord. At such a time, one is enlightened by the loving service of the Lord. There are many different kinds of scriptures, and by reading them, one becomes puzzled. But when one receives the mercy of the Lord, his confusion is mitigated. Not only are scriptural disparities resolved, but a kind of transcendental bliss is awakened. And in this way, one is fully satisfied. The transcendental loving service of the Lord constantly engages the conditioned soul in serving the Lord's lotus feet. Through such fortunate engagement, one's transcendental love for Krishna is increased. One's position is thus completely purified, and one is filled with transcendental bliss, accompanied by the spirit soul's jubilation. Thus, the transcendental causeless mercy of Lord Krishna is manifest in the heart of the devotee. At such time, material needs no longer exist. The lamentation that invariably accompanies material desires also vanquishes. Right? Because if you have material desires, there's always going to be lamentation because you can't fulfill these desires. You know, even if you do, it's over, and then it went more, it's unending. Later, by associating with a pure devotee, one becomes inquisitive to know the absolute truth. In this way, one begins to engage in the transcendental service of the Lord. Next, by the Lord's grace, all misconceptions are vanquished, and the heart is cleansed of all material dirt. It is only then that the pleasure of transcendental bliss is awakened. Right, so when one gives up that material attachments, material desire, then you can awaken the transcendental bliss. That means we'll get moments here or there, because those are moments where one doesn't have material. One's not distracted. One's fully absorbed in the Lord, so one tastes that happiness. You know? So, but when we see that in general practice, we don't have that anymore, then these things go away. Then one gets a taste. Next, by the Lord's grace, all misconceptions are vanquished, and the heart is cleansed of all material dirt. It is only then that the pleasure of transcendental bliss is awakened. By the Lord's mercy, one is completely convinced of the value of devotional service. When one can see the pastimes of the Lord everywhere, he is firmly situated in transcendental bliss. Such a devotee is relieved of all kinds of material desires, and he preaches the glory of the Lord all over the world. These Krishna conscious activities separate him from material activities and the desire for liberation, because at every step the devotee feels himself connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although such a devotee may sometimes be involved in household life, he is untouched by material existence due to his constant engagement in devotional service. Thus, everyone is advised to take shelter of devotional service to become happy and liberated. 210, 120, 129. Yes?
In the beginning of the purport of Srila Prabhupada, writes that Chaitanya Prabhu distributed his conscious mercy in three ways to condition soul. It's line number 4.
Mm-hmm.
And so what are the three ways in the purport did not condition soul?
I mean, what he's described here then is becoming detached from the material world, engaged, you know, absorbed in the Lord, and then distributing that mercy to others. Right? That would be how you look at it there. But otherwise, it means it may be more or less obvious. Then you have Jiva Doya, Vaishnav Seva, and Nama Ruchi. Right? Because you see there at the last, then that Jiva Doya is there.
Yes.
He preaches and everything like that. Where did he get that? By the association of the Vaishnavas, the Vaishnav Seva. And what did that give him? He gave up material attachments and that, and he had a taste for Krishna consciousness. Yes? Yes. 210, 120 to 129. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu raised Rupa Damodar to his feet and embraced him. They both became ecstatic in love and fell unconscious. After they had regained their patience, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to speak. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I saw in a dream that you were coming, and so this is very auspicious. I have been like a blind man, but your coming here restores my vision." Sri Rupa said, "My dear Lord, please excuse my offense. I gave up your company to go elsewhere, and that was my great mistake. My dear Lord, I do not possess even a trace of love for your lotus feet. If I did, how could I have gone to another country? I am therefore a most sinful man. I gave up your company, but you did not give me up. By your rope of mercy, you have bound me by the neck and brought me back again to your lotus feet." Srup Damodar then worshipped the lotus feet of Nityananda Prabhu. And Nityananda Prabhu, in turn, embraced him in the ecstatic ecstasy of love.
The reason why Srila Damodar left Navadvipa was because he could not handle the fact that he was taking up his sannyas.
Not that it's so much that he took sannyas, that he was not there.
Yes.
And then he left. So it's not that he took sannyas, it means that he wasn't there in Navadvipa.
He went down as he was studying.
Well, he went to take sannyas. Because I think he was already a pundit before he went there. He didn't get the idea that he went there and studied. He got the idea he went there and took sannyas. Then, having taken sannyas, now he's free to move about. And so now he can, now, you know, comes back and then hearing about Lord Chaitanya, then he goes to... Either that or because Satyamata had said that he would go to make his base in Puri. So maybe to give up all, you know, how you say, engagements and that he had there, he took sannyas and then went to Puri.
This one sentence is mentioned about him that he didn't want to remain with those devotees because he wanted to join Mahapuri.
Yes, because so if he's a sannyas, he can go join. But if not, then he needs to stay there because, you know, all of them, the families and all that, so they all stay together. So then by taking sannyas, then he's out of that circle and then he can go. Srirup Damodar also offered... Okay. After worshipping Nityananda Prabhu, Srirup Damodar met Jagarananda, Mukunda, Shankara, and Sarvabhauma, as was befitting. Srirup Damodar also offered his worshipable prayers at the lotus feet of Paramananda Puri, who, in turn, embraced him in ecstatic love. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then gave Srirup Damodar residence in a solitary place and ordered a servant to serve him with a supply of water and other necessities. Verses 130 to 150. Yes?
But we hear constantly that devotees, they embrace each other.
Yes.
So is it like a part of the culture or...?
Yeah, it's just because there's affection, so they embrace each other. It's just like if there's someone you know and is close, then you may embrace them. So it wouldn't be just that's what everybody was doing. So it wasn't artificial that everybody just goes, you know, stands in two circles and just moves each time and goes around the circle till they've embraced everybody. And then they all, you know, once that's done, then, you know, whatever it is, someone claps, then they all go on the ground, roll a bit like that, and then back, and then stand up, and then, no. So it's just natural because of affection. Okay. Yes?
Within culture, it's, in families, it's only like, just close uncles and those kind of people where you directly engage, otherwise it's
who's close? Yeah, who you have that kind of more regular interaction or close interaction. Okay. So that's good. So we see here then, these, they all have that relationship.
In
is
the
that
early
okay?
Yeah, the devotees used to pay a bit of senses all the time.
Yeah.
Every time you met the devotees, you skip the deck.
Well, no, you're missing in between. In between, then there was Vanchas Prabhu, Vanchas. Like that. That might have stemmed from, you know, how you say, the land of the yellow brick road. And now they just, now they don't do anything. Just, you know, some kind of acknowledgement. Pat on the back, and then after a while, it would just be a nod. You know, it's like before, they used to take off the hat, and then there would be, you know, hold the hat, and then they just touch the hat, and now there's no hat.
In our state, like on the day of Dasara, that's the only day you embrace everybody whom you see.
On Dasara?
That is like, you give like, something in some kind of small field and then we under.
Okay.
All related.
That Rambijaya. It's a day, Dasara, and then that's the day that Ramachandra defeated Ravana, it's the day that Kali defeated the big buffalo. Sorry? Yeah, Moshashi. I can imagine that Indra sitting on his throne and then this buffalo comes along like this, kicks him out, and then sits down. I mean, that would definitely, you'd lose some self-confidence with that one. Yeah. The arrival of Govinda, 210, 130 to 136. The next day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat with all the devotees, headed by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and they discussed the pastimes of Krishna. At that time, Govinda appeared on the scene, offered his respectful obeisances, and spoke submissively. Right? Because now everybody's coming. Yes, yeah, so some are coming in the group, some of get, you know, they're just coming on their own. And at that time, Govinda appeared on the scene, offered his respectful obeisances, and spoke submissively. I am the servant of Ishwara Puri. My name is Govinda, and following the orders of my spiritual master, I have come here. Just before his departure from this mortal world to attain the highest perfection, Ishwara Puri told me that I should go to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and render service unto him. Kashishwar will also come here after visiting all the holy places. However, following the orders of my spiritual master, I have hastily come to be present at your lotus feet. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, my spiritual master Ishwara Puri always favors me with paternal affection. Therefore, out of his mercy, he has sent you here. After hearing this, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why did Ishwara Puri keep a servant who comes from a Shudra family? Srila Prabhupada. Both Kashishwara and Govinda were personal servants of Ishwara Puri. After Ishwara Puri's demise, Kashishwara went to visit all the holy places of India. Following the orders of his spiritual master, Govinda immediately went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for shelter. Govinda came from a Shudra family, but because he was initiated by Ishwara Puri, he was certainly a Brahmana. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya here asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu why Ishwara Puri accepted the disciple from a Shudra family. According to the Smriti Shastra, which gives directions for the management of the Varnashram institution, a Brahmana cannot accept a disciple from the lower castes. In other words, a Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra cannot be accepted as a servant. If the spiritual master accepts such a person, he is contaminated. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya therefore asked why Ishwara Puri accepted a servant or a disciple born of a Shudra family. To answer this question, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied that his spiritual master, Ishwara Puri, was so empowered that he was as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As such, Ishwara Puri was the spiritual master of the whole world. He was not a servant of any mundane rule or regulation. An empowered spiritual master like Ishwara Puri can bestow his mercy upon anyone, irrespective of caste or creed. The conclusion is that an empowered spiritual master is authorized by Krishna and his own guru, and should therefore be considered as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. That is the verdict of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Shakshad Dhari Tvena. An authorized spiritual master is as good as Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As Hari is free to act as he likes, the empowered spiritual master is also free. As Hari is not subject to mundane rules and regulations, the spiritual master empowered by him is also not subject. Yes, so we see is that, because he's mentioning the Smriti Shastras. So in there, they're giving, because as we remember, is that all the opulence is that of the Lord and the Shaktis of the Lord, they have their manifestation in the spiritual and in the material. Right? Mahalakshmi is not. But the other, all her expansion, the different energies do have these two forms. So, since most people in the material world, the natural position is to function on the transcendental position, right? According to sadhana bhakti. But if not, then one's going to work under the material rules and regulations, so the varnashram and all these other things. Now, they can be used and connected to the Lord as been described, then they become transcendental. They take on that aspect. So Daiva Varnashram. You have Varnashram, then it's Daiva Varnashram. So then it becomes supportive of your service to Krishna. You know, just as it mentioned, that all these material positions can't get in the way of devotional service. But most people aren't following like that. Because you follow those things, it works. Right? You connect it to Krishna, then you develop, and then you come to the point where of sadhana bhakti, that becomes your regulation. Right? So then But there are those who are not interested in devotional service. And so they follow the Vedic rules and regulations, and so you have to be very, very careful. Because otherwise, the desire for, lab, puja, pratishta, all these different things, then they may extend beyond what they can actually do. So you have to regulate it so they can't get themselves into trouble. Right? They're working on the material platform, and so they have to function on that platform. So then you'll see is that those rules that don't oppose devotional service, that are just, you could just engage them, or in a particular context engage them, then those are accepted. Vaishnavas follow those. But those that then, they are only there to protect one because one's not in devotional service, then the natural form in devotional service, the acharyas give that. Right? So this freedom doesn't mean you do whatever you like. Freedom means is you follow the Vaishnav padati. And so you don't have to worry about the Samartha padati that might restrict in certain areas because the Samarthas aren't qualified enough to function in that way. Does that make sense? So in this way then they take on this aspect. Because the point is yes, the Brahmana should not initiate anyone who's not a Brahmana. So what does that mean? Then it means that someone then who then takes up devotional service as Vaishnav, then they're absorbed in the Supreme Brahman, so they're no longer, and so their interest is Brahman, so they're no longer Shudras, they're Brahmanas. By their conditioned nature, yes, they're going to maintain the body according to Varnashram, because you can't change that. Right? But the consciousness, because what you're worried about is the consciousness. Consciousness, the Brahman generally would be higher than the Kshatriya, higher than the Vaishnav. So that's the consideration. So then here is because of that position, then they are absorbed in the Lord, and so they're therefore Brahmins, and that way they're initiated. But it doesn't mean that the activity they perform as Varna is not according to their nature. Right? You can say, oh, but you know everybody's performing Artik and all that, but that's as Ashram. Right? Someone comes in once a week and does an artik, and then the rest of the week they're going to their job. That's not varna, that's ashram. It's part of their devotional practices. Does that make sense? Yeah. That pujari who can day in, day out, for you come, you go now, he's there doing puja all day. You come back 10 years from now, he's still doing puja. Come back after 20 years, he's still doing puja. That's a Brahman. But anybody, because they're Vaishnavas, they could do service to the Lord. And if someone advances so much in devotional service, or they're so nicely fixed in devotional service, then these direct activities of devotional service, which are within the Brahminical sphere, they can do. So they can preach, they can do puja, they could cook for they could do that all day. But it's as a devotee that they're able to do it. Right? So that's the thing. The Vaishnava padati then has this understanding, so you can see where these things work. If someone's having a difficulty and there's too much material attachment, then no, work within your position. You know, like you see, sometimes devotees will get first initiation, the Prabhupada wouldn't necessarily give them second. Right? Because they just didn't have that stableness and steadiness that it would be of any value to them. Because the Brahma Gayatri only works if it's regularly used. If you now and again use it, this, that, you got no benefits. Not like Hare Krishna, that there's no rules. There's rules. Does that make sense?
The awesome spiritual master is Hare Krishna one. The monastery wants to do one initiation to women, nor to devotees who have day jobs.
Day jobs. But if they have a night job, it's all right?
You know, we have a job.
So if they work as a security at Walmart, then it's okay.
If they're security guards at Walmart, you know, with a uniform and a cap, then they won't be a world guard.
What if they wore a dhoti and a turban? You know, you come with the thing, the big mustache, you got your spear, you know. That would be real, you know. No?
So there is a
yes, but according to our tradition, that's not our approach. that's definitely the Vedic approach. But in our tradition, you see is that with the Vaishnavacharyas, that if someone's from a Brahmin background, then that's the Brahma Gayatri. See, the other Gayatris then they're not part of that system. If someone's Vaishnava in that, then all those mantras go along with it. So we see with the previous Acharyas, then they would, if they're from a Brahmin family and they had got Upanayanam, they would chant the Brahma Gayatri and wear the thread. If they didn't, they didn't. Like I said, Purushottamacharya, then when he took sannyas, he gave up his thread in the Sika. Like that. So then being Acharya, he's from that family, he would have had those. But then the problem came is that, see, when you're working in a natural Vedic environment, then people are going to, more accept by, behavior, and they have a more understanding of sadhu and this and that. But with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, since now you're working very much in parallel with the non-Vedic culture and all that, and people are becoming more and more kind of materialistic, then they become more proud of their positions and that, and the Brahmins, and we're only Brahmins, and everybody else is not, and everybody, like that. So then he established that, which is based on Shastra, based on the Pancharatra, that as you can transform, bell metal into gold by the alchemy process, then by the process of initiation, one becomes a Brahmin. And so therefore he gets these Pancharatra Gayatris. And so that's how the Vaishnavas have always been following it. So it's not that they haven't accepted this kind of position. It's just that they didn't worry about the Brahma Gayatri. But the Pancharatrik, no matter what your background was, if you had surrendered to Krishna, then by that position, then one was considered a Brahmin. So then by chanting, one develops the devotional characteristics, then one can be, the one is in that category, so by Pancharatrik, you're a Brahmin. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, then carrying that one step further, then made the position that he didn't want people to see them less, because otherwise they would be very, people who are totally unqualified, but they may come from the background, then make comments about people who are very qualified but don't come from a Brahmin background. And so this is very offensive and all that. So then he established that all the devotees, that means all the men, when they were getting the Pancharatrik initiation, they'd also get Upanayana, they get the Brahma. So, but they would do it as two separate ceremonies. They do one ceremony, it takes you like an hour or some odd, then they do the Pancharatrik ceremony. So their initiations took a long time. And so then he established it there. And then with Srila Prabhupada, then he accepted it's the same principle, so he just extended it to the ladies. So the Acharyas have done it, and so that's the way it is. Because otherwise, if we're going to do that, why did Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur give to all the men? So he can't say, okay, he says he's not given to women, that's what if he says he's not given to anyone who is a Shudra, but that's not what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did. So therefore, we just follow our Acharyas. The time is there, then it works like this. So it's not a problem. In a purely Vedic environment, then yes, you may not worry, you may not get involved in these things. But then in those environments, it's not a problem.
But it was going that as long as they work like this, they don't need it.
As long as they work like this, they don't need it.
On a regular basis, maybe.
But the point is, as you work like that, it's only from 9 to 5. What about the rest of the day? What about in the morning? You do your puja, you do all these different things. On the weekend, you come to the temple. So it's not necessary, because the point is that Varnashram, you start that by the principle of everyone understanding what Varna is for, what ashram's for, and then follow that. These are details within it, so they're not important to make the Varna and ashram run. You just like, if you have a job as a Shudra, then what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to work for the benefit of the the company, understand the mood of the company, try to get that done very nicely, You know, be respectful to anybody that's connected with whoever owns the company. Like that. So this is your duty, according to the Vedic principle. Is this being discussed? No, that's what you should be discussing. Kshatriya means they take care of who is their dependents, the citizens. That's Varnashram.
The argument of that particular spiritual master is, Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish Varnashram, and I am doing that now.
Yes, that's nice. But the point is Prabhupada had already established 5 of 8. That's definitely a majority. And of the 5 of 8, it's the most important 5 out of the 8. And so it's not that he hadn't done anything with Varnashram at all. So this part of these things have already been covered, because everybody's going to be within an ashram. And everybody's performing the direct activities, brahminical activities of devotional service. They may not be following the the activities that maintain themselves, you know, in the Varna aspect of Brahman, or like this. So this is not this. I mean, it's something that can be dealt with, but I wouldn't tend to start here with establishing Varnashram, because as it is, let's say, if you want to establish Varnashram, you would want to start in the city. And so another reason that Varnashram, getting it going, you know, so it's more broad than what Prabhupada did, extending it beyond. In other words, you're adding Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra. That's all you're doing. Grihastha, Brahmachari, Sannyas, Vanaprastha, and Brahmana, that's already been established by Prabhupada. You only have to add Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra. So the point is they're in one of these ashrams, and since we started there, and in these ashrams, that's the spiritual order. So in the ashram, then they have that. In the ashram, they're brahminical. How they maintain their family, how they put rice on the table, or bread on the table, or couscous on the table, or whatever it is, their buckwheat they're putting on the table, it doesn't matter. Yes, because if what happens, it's been found that anybody who chants Brahma Gayatri can't go out and actually hold down a job. They just fail, and so they starve to death. So you want to avoid that. So the point is you start in the city. But you see, generally those who are very, you know, enthusiastic to establish the Varnashram, which is important because Prabhupada wanted it, but they demand that it can't be done in the city, which is wrong. Krishna lived in a city. Arjuna lived in a city. And he's famous for being a Kshatriya. And he lived in a city. You know, so that's the difficulty, is that you have to see what's the principle. See, in the whole of Manu, you can say there's a few verses where they say, Brahman means he studies and teaches. Kshatriya means he protects the people. You know, Vaishyas means they generate economy. And Shudras means they assist the other three. You have to start from there. You can't start from a detail. So if you do that, then you could situate everybody in our society. But because, you have to be out at a farm, you have to be planting carrots and getting dirt under your nails and none of this crazy brahminical stuff, they fail. And they will fail eternally until they accept that Varnashram is universal. It applies everywhere. And yes, agrarian, and then they say you can't have Varnashram if it's not agrarian. Who said? They said. The natural form is that, just like the natural form is a king. So if you don't have a king, you can't have Varnashram by that. And so therefore, except in England or in Thailand, or in Belgium, I think, or Sweden, then, you know, basically you can't have Varnashram. So I don't see them all moving to those places. Bhutan, yes, Bhutan also. But they have a king, you know? Like that, you have to have a king. Because if it has to be on a farm, an agrarian, you have to have a king also.
Hmm?
It depends who you ask. If you ask the TP, then definitely you've got it. Yes, it's happening. So if you take that, then yes, now you got the king. And so that not then you can establish Varnashram. So the whole point is that it's very, very important, Varnashram. But you have to understand is it's a descending process. It starts from the top. It starts from the principle. Manu opens with the verse that the sages are approaching Brahma and asking him to explain Varnashram, how it connects to Lord Vishnu. That means they know Varnashram. Right? So he's explaining it so you can see how it connects to Krishna. That's the important part. So you have to start from there. And you see what Prabhupada said. How he's establishing. How he said what people do. Just like temple president is supposed to be able to see the nature of somebody and engage them accordingly. But we're not starting there. You know? And then, okay, we have a job. What about if he's a teacher? Teaching at grade school. Teaching English. Now is he a Shudra? Working class jobs. Okay. Share market.
Supermarket.
Oh, supermarket. I thought you said share market.
But if they are studying and working, studying to be doctor.
Kibbutz
is for life. But if you
No, see, the thing is that's not the way you do it. It means if you work for somebody, you have to follow them. Because the point is, okay, he's a doctor, and he works at a hospital. Who owns the hospital? Vaishyas. So he's working. He's on a paid job by that. So he's just a fancy Shudra. But Vaishyas make everybody Shudras. They even give money to the countries and control them. So the whole point is you have to see the nature of what they're working with. And what they do in their devotional service. Because the point is let's say you have somebody who is brahminical by nature, and he wants to do devotional service. So does he want to get involved down at the university and stuff like that? Not really. Like that. Not if he's come from an academic background. If he hasn't, then definitely wants to. But if he has come from, then he wouldn't want to. So working down at the Tesco's, you know, for, you know, 3 hours a day, you know, or something, or just on weekends, pays the bills, and he can do the rest of the time he does pujari work, you know, or preaches. You know, so I remember one temple president, you know, he was a good temple president, around like that, very simple. He lived in the closet. In the office, there's a big closet, big walk-in closet, you know, because you'll take a house, you know, and do something with that. And so it must have been maybe the master bedroom or something was made into the office, so it had one of those big walk-in. That's where he lived.
Walk-in wardrobe.
Yeah, walk-in wardrobe. So he lived in the closet. You know, he was a brahmachari, but he knew business. So he on the weekends he would do business and it maintained his family for the whole week. So the whole point is. If you can do, if it's very clear and exact, but you first have to start where people are right now and show them how to regulate their life and what they're doing now. That's the whole thing. You start there. And so, that's for the general. But in this case of the Gayatri, the Brahma Gayatri, our acharyas have already established what we do. So we don't take the next step. If that was your first step, leave that one. Do what's your second step. Because the acharyas already dealt with that. They want everybody to be seen as their brahmins. So that's it. Hello. Take the next step. You know, have them growing carrots and getting dirt under the nails. You do farming during the day. You know, so the whole point is whatever you're doing, this is what you're doing. Because otherwise, if you go like that, basically everybody shoots us. Yeah, but the point is how are they? So you show them, but that's what they do during the day on their own time. What they do at their home, what they do on the weekends, what they do in their holidays. That's our business. What they do to maintain themselves, that's not our business. We just show them, if you want to do well, it means, if you do those things that I mentioned, Because that's what Narad Muni mentions. You do those four things, you will have your job. Everybody else will get fired, but you'll have your job. You might even move up and become the supervisor. But is that being taught? You know, because then on the other hand, oh, we're devotees, we don't care about them, and you know, they're not authorities. You can't mix these things like this. And so then it has to be very clear what you're doing. So you start whoever's where they are right now. How do they figure out what they do? Because the point is that, you know, can they do the things? You know, it's just like this. If I do a yajna at somebody's house or something, let's say in the West, you know, let's say Europe or India or Australia, generally they'll give me $100 or more, depending on what they have. But in America, did some big thing for the temple and all that, their home, they gave me $28 as a check made out to ISKCON. Yeah. Huh? 28. Why 28? I don't know.
Auspicious.
Auspicious, maybe, yeah. I don't know, but the thing is, so the whole point is if we went by that, no one could live as a Brahmin in America because Americans aren't charitable enough to take care of them. There's always the thing, oh, you're a devotee, you should, you know. It's just like, let's say, in Rajasthan, the girls, they go out, let's say something happens, their husband dies, they go out with their full jewelry and go begging. If they're begging on the street, people know there's a problem. They give them money. But when they, because they follow the festivals, you know, they go to Kumbh Mela, they come down to Sagar. When they come to Bengal, because they see the jeweler, they won't give him a paisa. You already, why aren't you, until you sell everything, if you're about to die, then they'll give you 2 paisa. That's why the Bengalis do so good in America. So the point is, you could not maintain Brahminical culture there. No one will pay for it. No one will give you charity. No one will take care. You know, the thing is, why we should take care? Get yourself, get your own job. You know, that's the American thing. So the point is you also have to have a culture. You have to train people, and the culture is required for these things. Then you can expand. But the point is here, as our acharyas have already established this, so that's what we do. You know, it means the Vaishnava acharyas showed that the Pancharatrika are for everybody, right? Because previously it may have been only Brahmins would get, but they have no, anybody can get the Pancharatrika. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati showed that everybody plus the men would get the Brahma Gayatri. You know, and then Prabhupada gave, no, then the women also. You can say as, oh, Prabhupada was pressured, but he made the decision. He didn't want, I mean, Rameshwar tried to pressure him so much with things on things about the size of Krishna book, this, that. You know how probably originally Krishna books were this big. He wanted them that big. But Rameshwar wanted these little dinky ones. Prabhupada said no. He threw him out of his room. He'd come in and argue, I get out of here. He just toss him out. So as long as Prabhupada's here, they were that big. Yeah, then you got into that. And then, you know, then they're cheap. Yeah, because everyone wants to get down into that, and it's nice, but who keeps those? Devotees. If you say, we want to print this for the devotees, run a limited thing that goes out for devotees because they want to carry it with them and read, that's fine. But for the karmis, he wanted the big books. Because if it's that big, where are you going to put it? You're going to put it on the coffee table. If it's this big and it's paperback and it's all dog-eared and that, you're going to stick it in some corner somewhere. No one's going to see it. So Prabhupada knew what he was talking about. So if he decided, okay, I'm giving these girls the Brahma Gayatri, then he knew what he was doing.
He's the acharya.
So he knows. So therefore, this is not the point of contention. But if this was number one, to start the Varnashram, then point is leave that, take number two. And work on that. I'm sure that will have much more traction. Because the thing is you take points like this that have already been established, then you just weaken the position of the you know, trying to develop Varnashram. Because the point is Prabhupada talks about it, you know, practically every purport. So it is important, we want to establish it. And so much problem comes from not establishing it. But you have to know how what it is, what you're establishing. It's not an the external form is there, but there's a mentality. You're trying to develop a consciousness. Does that make sense? So that someone is willing to stand up in spite of everybody else in the movement and take a stand, that's very good. But use that enthusiasm to take point number two. I don't know, whatever it is. Prabhupada said when you go to the, when he was talking about, because earlier there were no temples in that in India. So you're traveling and preaching, you go to a village or a town or like that. He says, when you go to the town, you find out who are the three richest men. So number one, you leave. Number two, you leave. You stay at number three's house. Don't bother staying at one and two. Because they're too proud of their wealth and all that, they won't hear Krishna consciousness. They'll put you up as piety and show everybody and all that. But number three will listen. So maybe you should even skip step two and go to three. Does that make sense? So in other words, that they're taking this strong stand, that's glorious. But this one's already been worked out by the acharyas. No need to establish something here. That doesn't establish varnashram. Because the point is we're establishing varnashram where it's supportive of devotional service, not instead of devotional service. That's the whole point. In other words, there are rules that the karmis follow, we follow. But if there's rules that the karmis follow and we don't care about, then we don't establish those ones.
Yeah. So you're saying that based on Rupa Goswami's instruction that we have to take that step with the spiritual advancement.
Yes.
So could there be a case where some aspect of Varnashram may not be favorable, it should be given up to make room for devotional service?
It means this particularly individual element, but the point is what we're talking here is what platform of advancement is this individual on that we're saying this about? You know what I'm saying? Because unless you understand what is Varnashram and understand what is the Vedanta philosophy, then one shouldn't try to make such a decision. Because otherwise it's just whatever I like, then that's favorable, and whatever I don't like, that's not favorable. And that's not good enough. The point is the Acharyas, Prabhupada, has talked about most all aspects of Varnashram. So that's what we're trying to establish. That's what we want to establish. And then, if you know, and he mentions for leadership, they should read Manu. Because they need to know these things. General devotees don't need to know these things. Because in other words, if you read Manu and you get freaked out, you weren't supposed to have read it. If you read Manu and go, oh, okay, then you're supposed to read it. You know, it's like Gorganovesh Deepika. You're not qualified, don't read it. You know? So it's a point to discuss. It needs discussion. It needs a mature, level-headed discussion. But you have to see, it's pure devotion. That's supported by Pancharatra. Then, as you need, you add the Vedic. So in other words, if you have more material desire, you have to add the Vedic in that area because there's no room for more material desire in Bhagavat or Pancharatra. That means basically deals with zero. So if you have material need and desire, that's going to be included there. So where that area is, that then you have to look at what Varnashram says. You can't, and then when you see the rules, you can't go, oh, we're a devotee, we don't, then don't have material desire. That's like saying, I'm tired of just being, you know, on my own, or I have to depend upon others, or this or that. I want independence in my, you know, travel around and all that. I want to get a car. And then we say, okay, you can get a car, but then, you know, you have to get a license, you have to register, you have to pay the taxes and all that, you have to maintain the petrol. No, no, but we're devotees. We just chant. We don't care for the rules. It's kind of like, are we dealing with children here or what? So that's the whole point, is that, but if you don't want to get involved, don't get a car. It's just, then you walk or get a ride with someone else. But they want, I want full independence and no restrictions. The point is Vedic means restrictions. Why? So that you can be better situated in devotional service. That's the purpose. So it takes maturity. So it is the lower of the three, right? But it needs the most material qualification to use. And the only reason we have that is because we're performing devotional service. At the same time, Shudra should be seen as pretty good if you come from less than Shudra. So then, it's a step up. So it's an important topic, but the point is you have to start from the principles and go out from the principles. If you start with the detail, you just get mired in conflict. You have to start from the principle and start out from there. You know, patana patana yajana yajana dana pratigraha. Okay, those are the brahminical. Okay, so doing puja for yourself, okay, doing puja for others, doing yajna for yourself, doing yajna for others, doing charity, accepting charity. Okay, you do a yajna for someone else, they give you bupkis. You do a puja for someone else, they give you, you know, some mahaprasad or some charinamrita. You know, and you give charity and all that, maybe, but nobody gives you charity. So how will the Brahmins be maintained? Without Brahmins, so the first point of the society established Brahminical culture. You know? So how are they going to maintain themselves? Why start with the Shudras? You got to start with the Brahmins. Brahmins make Kshatriyas. Kshatriyas create the environment that Vaishyas and Shudras can be made pious. If you start with Shudras, you'll never get it. You can start with devotees. So if you start with devotees, you can make Brahmins. Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Kshatriyas, then to create Vaishyas, Shudras. No? Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.